Yes, he breaks every chain, breaks every chain. He'll break every chain, break every chain. He breaks every chain. Amen. Lord, we just thank you for breaking every chain and helping us to know that you are the one who sets us free, and that we can know the truth. The truth will make us free. Father God, I pray your blessing now on this time together in your name, in your presence. We humbly ask. We seek you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Thanks, Brother Mark. Appreciate it. How many has your Bible with you? Bible, Bible, Bible. Praise the Lord. We're going to turn to Proverbs chapter 17 and the 22nd verse. Proverbs 17, 22. Praise the Lord. We read, a joyful heart does good like a medicine. A joyful heart is good like medicine. Amen? But a broken spirit dries the bones. A joyful heart does good like a medicine that impacts your physical life, but a broken spirit dries the bones, impacts your physical life. May God bless his word. You may be seated. Tonight I'm going to speak about the best medicine. A joyful heart. A joyful heart. Medicine today is so expensive, you got to have medical insurance. Otherwise, you'd never be able to pay for it. And health insurance and other kinds of all kinds of stuff, right? But I wanted to share with you the fact that there's a better medicine that's free. I didn't say cheap. I said it was free. Free. Sometimes the things, in fact, always the things in life that are free are more valuable than things you can buy. The things in life that are the most important and the most beneficial to us cost us nothing because you can't put a price tag on it. How much can you pay for love? How much can you pay for life? How much can you pay for happiness? How much can you pay for peace? There is no price for it. You can't go to a store and walk in and say, I'd like to buy some peace. Right? They might say, hey, just get an app on your phone and you can put on a fan or the sound of the ocean. The other night I was upstairs and I went from my office to the bedroom and I heard the sound of water dripping downstairs. That's not a good sound. That's not good. It's like almost midnight, water's dripping downstairs. So I run down the stairs and there's my son. He's sleeping on the couch with his phone with an app, Forest Rain. Forest Rain. And I go, thank goodness for that. You enjoy that. Sleep through. Gideon started a full-time job. He's working as a security guard, so he's now putting in 40 hours a week. But it took his bank account dwindling to nothing to get him seriously motivated. I want a job, and I want it now. He got so motivated. And then something just opened up. So God is good. Amen. He went out, he kept applying and applying, and nothing, 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 nothing. It all looked good, nothing, nothing. And then this one came up. So he walks the grounds, and it's 10 minutes drive from where we live. It's in South Windsor. It's in the same town. So he's blessed. They're already talking to him about management position. And he's 19 years old, but like Kurt, right? He's got that firstborn male type thing in there. He's done a little some of the strangest things. He's found that this company he works for, and they're pretty big. They're all over the country, as far as I know, all over the Northeast. Has some training stuff online, and he wants to be the best security guard he can be. Not for me. I find that to be boring, but for him, he was like into it. He found at the end of each study piece of material, there was a test. So he took all the tests. He was getting 90s and 100s. And so this lady said, I've been working here for 18 years. I've never even looked at that material. He was telling me this in the car today, and he goes, no wonder she's been in the same position for 18 years. And then he said the other day, yesterday I think it was, he decided to do some push-ups, because when you're a security guard, there's times when you're walking the grounds. They have like 25 to 30 different sections they have to check. And sometimes people come in, you have to deal with people trying to bring in packages or whatever. And he said that there's other times when you're just sitting and you're watching the monitor. And, you know, watching the monitor is like watching paint dry. Yeah. Or worse, After it's dry, you're waiting for it to peel. So you're waiting for it to start to peel. Anyway, he said when he starts nodding off, he sees other people falling asleep. He gets up and starts doing push-ups and sit-ups. The other day, he did push-ups in the lunch area, and he got up, and his hands were dirt, like black. Somebody tracked in a bunch of mud. It was been raining a lot. So he went and was cleaning up, and he found this area that had where everyone throws their lunches. It's like little shelves that hold things, but it had stuff in there that was so disgusting and so old. So he went and he started cleaning it, and he really got into it. He got some different, he kept looking at all their different detergents and things, and he cleaned the thing up still sparkling. And the guy that had been there for 20 years says, I've been here for 20 years and it's never been cleaned. So that guy goes over and gets a broom and starts sweeping. Anyway, his boss sits down and says, look, I want you to get doing a review for management position in 5 months. He says, we don't know anybody who just on their own went and takes these tests. So he's really, he's motivated, and you know, God watches that. And it's really about our attitude. It's about the way that we think on things and the way that we feel about things. And as long as we're letting our heart or emotional state be impacted by the world around us and by the negativity of the world around us, that starts impacting us. Does that make sense? Like, let's say that none of you smoke. Praise the Lord, none of you smoke, right? But what if your neighbor comes over or some stranger and walks in your house and is smoking away? Wouldn't you want to push that person out of your house? You're stinking up my house. Well, that's exactly what we do. We let a negative thought and negative attitudes come into our house and start stinking up the place, and we just dwell in it. We like sit in the soup. Don't do that. Clear that out of there. So I want to read some scriptures. It ought to motivate you enough just to read Proverbs 17, amen, that the best medicine for us is a joy-filled heart, amen. So I'm going to do this as a doctor. First, we're going to do a diagnosis, then we're going to do a prognosis, and then we're going to have a therapy. And that's up to you. If you want to go this way, you can, or you can go that way. It's your choice. You get to go any way you want to. But as your doctor, the diagnosis is that if your heart is not joyful, then your whole entire being, your whole atmosphere is not happy. Your body's not happy. You're going to find that other things are not happy. And it's strange, you don't really believe this, maybe, but stuff that's mechanical, like your car, like your refrigerator, things that are running on energy are also, you know, right? How many's ever had something happen that wasn't a great start of the day, and before long, another thing happened, right? How many's ever said that? How many's ever heard somebody say, there we go again, right? And this is just not my day. And we go down this road where we're constantly doing what's called a domino effect on the very thing. Instead, what we can do, I want to share with you that it's up to you to take care of this or not. We're going to get to that in a minute. But so this is what the diagnosis, a good doctor, today it's very hard to find a good doctor because the doctors today, unfortunately, don't even sit with you. They don't even ask you questions. They send somebody else in, somebody else that'll ask you questions, they'll write stuff down. Don't you find it really strange? They're writing all this stuff down, you're giving them all these details, the doctor's taking forever, and you're figuring, wow, maybe next time I won't give so much information out. He's probably back in the back room really reading over this stuff. He's not. Doctor comes in, sits down with you, and says, what's the problem? You got to go over it all over again. Never even read your chart. Isn't that funny? That's how it is. But a good doctor is going to ask questions. If your heart is not full of joy, then ask questions. Why? Why? Why is my heart not full of joy? What is going on here, right? Start coming, getting down. And you're going to find that if you ask those questions, it's going to boil down to the thoughts you're thinking. Whatever you're dwelling on. Something happened in your life today. Something happened last week. Something's been going on. A phone call, whatever it is, and you're thinking on it. Even if you're subconsciously thinking on it, it can do the same exact thing. It's bringing you down. And you need to ask that, because if you don't get a good diagnosis, you can't start the process, right? So then we get to a prognosis. And this is something that I think you all understand or all know this, but I want it to just really register in your heart. We are psychosomatic beings. Psycho meaning the inside, right? The heart that's supposed to be joyful, the inside part of you, the spirit of you. But then soma means body. We are a psychosomatic, connected, internal, connected to the external. Does that make sense? And so because of that, anything that goes on mentally or emotionally is impacting us physically. It's impacting our physical world that we live in. And it's going to translate into some kind of a physical thing. If you have an emotional or let's call it a mental ailment or something that you're dis-ease, right? It's going to translate, it's going to convert into a physical ailment or disease. Now, the fact is, the reverse is true. I've experienced it. Many people I know have experienced it, but the reverse is true. Even if you're having a negative something going on in your body, you can turn it around just from the internals. All right? So that's the prognosis. If you keep going down the road, you're going to keep getting the same results. You're going to keep going in that direction. So if you reverse it, you're going to be able to have a different kind of a prognosis, right? Philippians chapter 4, verse 6. We're going to be in Philippians for a little while, so let's go there. The fourth chapter of Philippians. It's the final chapter of a four-part letter that's written by the Apostle Paul. And we're just going to start with verse 6. So it says there, "Be anxious for nothing." Can everybody read that out loud or repeat after me? Be anxious for nothing. Who are you talking to? Oh, you're talking to yourself? Okay, let's reword it then. I am anxious for nothing. Isn't that powerful? How many's ever been anxious before? Man, but you're still sitting here. You're actually here raising your hand. How did you get here? Whatever you were anxious about was going to be life and death, right? But you're here. See? So be anxious for nothing. It doesn't help us. It exacerbates the thing and brings it out and makes it happen more and more. So we don't want to keep doing that. So be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Imagine in something you're not happy with, you're being thankful. Lord, you have me here. I don't know why you have me here, but I'm here and I'm thankful that I'm your child. I'm in your hands. You have taken good care of me. And no matter what I'm facing, I'm going to get through it. No matter what. No matter what tomorrow holds, I will praise the Lord. I'll be thankful. I'm thanking you, Lord, because you're doing something amazing. And I don't know why you're doing it this way. I'm not enjoying it, but I need it. Be thankful for it. Hard to see. We don't always see it. But God knows what he's doing, right? Let your requests be made known to God. So make sure that you're putting that, when you're doing that, you're going through a tough situation. It's challenging you. It's challenging your spirit. It's challenging your attitude. So be constantly in contact with God. That may be one of the great purposes of a tremendous trial you're in the middle of. Because it's turning you, if you are too dependent on yourself, too independent. Does that make sense? God wants to shake you from that a little bit and put you back to where your dependency is all on him. That's why I make your requests known unto him. You might feel like you need to go to a doctor. You might feel like you need to go to a mechanic for your car. You might feel like you need to go to somebody to work on your home, like a plumber. That's okay, but go to God first. Ask him first. Make all your requests known to him first. And do it with thanksgiving in our hearts. Amen? Because we are a really blessed people. We're super blessed, aren't we? I love this. We're in a good spot here. So this is all part of the prognosis. And now we're going to get into the therapy of it. So verse 6 is telling you what not to do, but it's kind of cool when you go to verse 8 because he tells you what to do. I'm a positive preacher. I believe that we should always learn what to do and not try to figure out all the stuff we're not supposed to do. You know, we can build walls around ourselves. Oh, I'm not supposed to do this, not supposed to do that. But it's really good to know what we're supposed to be doing and get really good at it. So verse 8 says, finally, Actually, we can go back to verse 7. Watch, because it runs in juxtaposition to 6, where it says, be anxious for nothing. And then verse 7 says, and the peace of God. Peace meaning no anxiety. Zero. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Now, it's really cool because a lot of times we get anxious about things we don't understand, and we're actually anxious because we want to understand something, but we can't always understand everything. But one thing that happens is when the peace of God comes, it won't matter anymore. Because you're okay. You're going to get through it, and it's not really, it doesn't really matter if you understand why or what's going on. Now we go on to verse 8. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are good, of good report, if there is any virtue and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. Not just think on them, but meditate on them. What's going on here? He's giving us not just the prognosis, but he's moved right into the therapy. Praise the Lord. Here's the therapy. Remove worry, fear, and doubt. You have to remove those things out of your psyche, out of your mind, out of your thinking, out of your spirit. They've got to be removed. Faith can't even work effectively if any of those other hindrances are sitting there. We want results. We want to see God move in our lives. We want to see God move in our children and our families. We want to see God do some amazing things. But our own faith is hindered. Not that you don't have faith. Jesus, in some cases, said, where is your faith? Other times he says, you have little faith. But we have faith. We have faith that can move a mountain. It's just all these little hindrances are sitting there, right? So what we have to do is remove them and adjust what our mind is dwelling on. Does that make sense? That's how we're going to do it. We're going to remove those things, not by trying to remove them. We're actually removing them by replacing. We're going to adjust what our mind is dwelling on. You remember that good old song, Count Your Blessings, Name Them One by One? Remember that? That's a powerful song. That's what we have to do. Once you start thanking God and thinking about all the good things in your life, it starts to replace the negatives. Praise the Lord. So verse 8 is very powerful. Let's go on a little bit more. Sometimes when a doctor gives us therapy, it's not fun. Sometimes the answer, the progress that we're going to get or the process we're going to get to what to do is very difficult. It's not easy. Sometimes you're sent to physical therapy. That's not fun, right? Other times it's okay, it works, but it's one of those things sometimes it's difficult. So I'm going to read you the 13th verse because this is telling you what the therapy's got to be, and part of it we just read in 8, but let's read verse 13. Philippians 4. Verse 13 says here, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So it doesn't matter how tough it gets. The therapy may be almost more painful than the actual disease or the actual pain you're going through, but the therapy works. It works. And you can go through it saying, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. He'll get me through. He'll get me through. Isn't God good? Now, let me give you a little bit of help here because we are 100% dependent on the Lord. How many can say amen to that? But at the same time, we're dependent on him to bring out of us the things that he put in us. In other words, God has given us certain powers or strengths that we all hold within ourselves. We have those things. And when you were saved, he effectively was redeeming those qualities. God didn't redeem the junk. He only redeemed the good stuff, right? He didn't redeem the sinner and left you a sinner. He redeemed the child of God that was locked into a sinner condition. And he takes away the sinfulness and takes away the dominion of sin. And he gives you this tremendous revelation by a birth, by a Holy Spirit birth. Being born again, there's something in you that has the power to do this. Amen? So I want to just speak to you about that. How many here understands that you have the power in you by God's grace to change your own world? You have the power in you to change your own world. It's never going to work as long as you or I feel like Well, I would change my world, but I live in a world with this other person, right? Many of us are married, have been married, whatever. We do sometimes struggle with that. Many times it's our kids we struggle, our parents we struggle. We struggle with other things that are connected with us. We have relationships, and we have connections at work and everywhere else, all different places. And a lot of times people think that if this person could stop doing that, I would be happy, right? If this person could just change, it would make me feel better. And we're trying to feel better by someone else changing and expecting that somehow they have the power. What we're literally doing is we're abdicating the power to change our own world, and we're giving it to other people. That is a bad investment. That's terrible. That's just saying somebody says, hey, give me your $10,000, I'll turn it into $100,000. Okay, I don't know who you are, but here's the money. Wouldn't that be kind of bad? That's kind of like really bad investment. So what God has done is by coming in the form of a man and Jesus Christ dying on the cross for you and me, he proved he was willing to spend all of heaven to invest in you. The value is already in you. You don't need to depend on someone else. You just depend on your God who's redeemed you. You are bought with a price, a very high price, so that your spirit and your body, your whole trichotomy, three-part being, right? Body, spirit, and soul, can all glorify God. It can all bring value back to God. God's expecting a return on his investment. So he's not going to invest in you and then have you invest in other people that have no control over the situation. It stops with you. It's in you. The power to change my world is already in me. The power to change my health is already in me. I want to try to make this very clear. Brother Branham said it this way, and you can find it right in the scripture. He said that Jesus said, I have power to lay down my life, and I have power to raise it up again. And he says, and all of you who are born again by the spirit of the resurrection of Jesus Christ can say the same thing. I have power to lay down my life. I have power to raise it up again. Imagine that. The very power to change your body is in you now. He said that you have the power of a body change in you right now by having the Spirit of Jesus Christ living in you. Amen. So he said, now, when you get sick, all you're doing is you're tapping into that power and you're taking an early dividend. Because the healing is going to be a quick and immediate relief, but it's not going to stop the fact that if the Lord tarries, you're still going to end up in the grave. Just taking a nap, but you'll end up in the grave, right? We're all going to die someday. We get that. But we don't really die. We just sleep. We sleep in Jesus. But the point I'm making is that we can, through this journey in this world, tap into that power source, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. We can tap into that power of the resurrection. Paul says, oh, that I might know him in the power of his resurrection. There's something in there that God has invested in, purchased, saved, and anointed with the Holy Spirit, but a lot of times we don't tap into that. We're trying to see if the pastor can help us. We're trying to see if this will help us and that will help us. It's already in you. It's already there. There's a sleeping giant in you just waiting to wake up. Amen? So your health, your world, your income, everything in your life, it's in you. It's all in you. In one place, Brother Branham even said, the millennium is already in you. Isn't that strange? The world you're going to is already in you. That's some power. The Bible says we've tasted of the power of the age to come. It's already in us. And if that same spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in you, it will quicken your mortal body. Heal it. Bring out and take away the pain and change your body. Resurrect you someday. It's the same power, and it's in you. Proverbs 18:21. We just read in Proverbs 17. Let's go to the next chapter there. Proverbs 18:21. This I love. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruits. Think of it this way. If you speak those things that are negative, and then you start getting negative stuff in your life, you're eating now the fruit of what you loved. Jesus said it this way. He said, it's not what you put in your mouth that defiles you so much. A lot of us are worried about what we eat, right? But he said, it's what's coming out of our mouth that can defile us. In the same token, what can come out of our mouth could be something spiritual, true, noble, strong, things you've been thinking about, dwelling on. You've been flooding your mind. You're flooding your spirit. You're taking the therapy and you're doing it. You're flooding your thoughts with thoughts of beautiful stories, amazing things, God's miracles, things that he's doing in our lives. You're flooding your, and so now your thoughts are changing and now your words are changing. And now life can start coming out. And when life comes out, you're going to eat the fruit of life. It's all seeds. You're just planting and you're reaping and you're harvesting. I had a guy call me today out of the blue. It was kind of strange because he called our home number. If you have a home phone like I do, I still have a landline, if that's even a true thing. And we still listen to the messages like once a week. It's pretty bad. Some of the stuff on there is like, I don't even know, sales. People don't even realize what they're doing. But this one guy called and he says, hey, I hear you're doing life insurance. I'm starting and I wanted to talk with you. And normally I would have said, hey, you know, we're not really connected, you know, just good luck. I hope it works out for you. But somehow I talked to the guy. I felt told of the Lord, and we ended up, that was yesterday. We made a coffee get together today in Glastonbury. We sat down for like almost an hour, had coffee and chatting. And it was very, very interesting because our lives are very parallel. His parents got divorced, remarried, like I did, same time. And all these pieces of, now he's a well-known jeweler. He's a well-known jeweler, maybe from West Hartford. Maybe some of you have heard of him. I don't know, but it's his last name is La Perla. So La Perla Gem and Jewelry, he's owned it for 44 years. He finally sold it off, and then he was working for another jeweler, another company, and then he started doing insurance. But anyway, the bottom line is, we kind of went to the end of our conversation. He needed to go. I needed to go. And he started, I said, well, tell me a little bit more about just your background. Like what's, because he knew I was a pastor. And he said, when he first started out, he said he was a 19-year-old. And he was thinking, do I want to become a priest or do I want to become, because he was raised Catholic. Do I want to become a priest or do I want to do this other thing? And he ended up not. He got married. He's been married 34 years and happily married. Has one son. The son just graduated college. He's going to be a surgeon, and he said he closed the gem store because his son didn't want to take it over. So that was the end of that. But it's very interesting because he said there were certain things that the church did that I just couldn't take it anymore, and I walked away. And he says when I did, I walked away from it, from all of it. But he says I'm on a quest trying to find God. But he said, I just can't go to there. I can't go there. And so he's very fascinating with getting back together and talking about more of things like this. And you know what I think it is? I think if you just start thinking about people coming to Christ, family, you think about your family all the time, but what about others? Others, just start picturing it and start mentally doing that. I know what God will do because he's doing it with me. He just starts bringing people your way. They come out of the blue. It doesn't even make any sense. Like, where did that person come from? But God's just going to start bringing them and fill this place up. We can do that. It's not hard. God can do anything. But it's up to us if we're ready. Jesus said something very powerful. He said, the fields are white, ready for harvest. Pray that the Lord of the harvest will send in workers. The issue is we don't have the workers. We need to be the workers, right? So if our hearts are filled with, I want to see my loved ones come to Jesus Christ. You know what? They're coming. They will be there. All you ever loved will be there. All that ever loved you will be there. So just remember that. But the power of life and the power of death is in your own tongue. And since your tongue is attached to your body, in your head, so is your brain. It all is about the thought life that we have. And I want this to be part of the heavy duty part of the therapy. We have to fill ourselves with joy, happiness, thanksgiving, those things that have to do with peace. And don't let the world around us have an impact. In fact, you have to realize God has redeemed you to become a world impactor. not to be a compactor. Praise the Lord. God has ordained you to impact your world, not the reverse. Everybody, 90% of people, maybe more, live where their whole life is just the world impacts me. They are a leaf on a river. And this wave throws them that way, and this wave blows them that way, and they're just going along. They have no control. That's not for you. You've not been called to that. You're not a chicken. You're not one of those crows. You're an eagle. You get to choose. You're not afraid of storms. You're not afraid of weather. You know you can beat anything. Hallelujah. You can accomplish anything. You can do all things through Christ, who is your strength. Do you believe that? Mark 11:22, as you know, Jesus said, have God's faith. Believe in God. Have the faith of God, or something along that line. If you say to this mountain, be removed, and don't doubt, but believe your words, this mountain will be moved. See, what that doubt is, the fear, doubt, worry, those are just hindrances. They're not really you. They're just, they got in there and they're like a blockade. We got to just remove them. We got to get them out of the way. And how we do that is we just have to fill our hearts with positive, positive, positive thoughts. Praise the Lord. God is good. And I know this play, it was a musical play called Peter Pan. It's not something that you guys are just love with all. I mean, it's a little bit different, but there's some elements of that play, that movie, that's pretty interesting. And I really like the beginning part. Now, the fairy dust, it's interesting, but what caused, they couldn't fly. The kids needed to fly. If they're going to go to Never Land, whatever that's called, they had to fly, and they couldn't fly. And if you remember, Peter Pan was trying to get them to do it, and didn't matter how much fairy dust was thrown on them, it just wasn't quite enough. So finally, Peter Pan starts saying something like, you got to think happy thoughts. You got to think happy thoughts. And then something, they started saying, hey, it's working. I'm thinking about Christmas. You know, I'm thinking about my birthday. They started thinking about happy times in their life, happy times in their lives, happy thoughts, and then they started flying. This is how I believe that the Lord is saying that when you see all these things happen, lift up your head, straighten up, look up. Praise the Lord. Your redemption draws nigh. We're going to look up because you're looking where you're going. Don't set your affection on things on this earth, but on things above. That's where we're going. Praise the Lord. There's a scripture that says, arise, shine, your light has come, the glory of the Lord has come upon you. What does that really mean? Notice it doesn't say the light comes and lifts you up. It says your light is come or coming, but you still have something to do. Well, isn't the light shining? Yes, but you're supposed to be a lamp for the light to shine through. That's why we have to arise. We have to come up out of the doldrums, out of all our pittiness, all sadness, come up. Rise up, stand up, be in a position where you can be seen, and then you shine. Your light has already come, but we're not shining. I believe that. Do you believe that? I believe God has already started the process, He's already sent His light. He's already sent His truth. He's already sent His power, but He's just waiting for us to rise up. Arise, be go above, fly above, get above all the stuff, and just let the light shine. Do you love Him with all your heart? Appreciate it. Let's have the musicians come. Just keep it simple today. I hope it's a blessing to you. But the best medicine is a joyful heart. Heart full of joy. You have nothing to worry about. There's nothing to be stressed about. I'm too blessed to be stressed. Amen. Hallelujah. God is good. He's always good. He never leaves us nor forsakes us. Let's sing that song, no matter what tomorrow brings, I will praise the Lord, I will praise the Lord. How many will do that with me? How many makes that commitment tonight? I will praise the Lord. Doesn't matter what's happened today, yet last week, what's coming in the future. A lot of people are anxious for future things, worried about future things. A lot of people have regrets or they feel bad about the past. I want you to just forget about all that for right now and just do this one thing. No matter what tomorrow brings, no matter what's in store, I will praise the Lord. How many will do that with me, with all your heart? Amen. And as she's playing, bow your heads for just a minute. Let's speak to Him. Lord, we just thank You, Father, once more, with a thankful heart for all the good that You've poured into our lives and all the blessings and all the benefits Lord, you load us down with benefits. We haven't even looked at half of them. We're going around with a sour face. That's sad. All those benefits, we haven't even looked. We got a whole car full of them, a whole house full, a whole life full of those beautiful benefits, and we get negative. Forgive us for that, Lord, because we've made a decision tonight that we're just going to praise you. We're going to praise you. We're going to thank you. We're going to be happy for the great life that you have given us. We're going out here in a flash of glory, your church without spot or wrinkle. We are your perfect people. In Jesus' name, hallelujah. Yes, yeah, so let's all stand as we sing it. Remember, arise, shine. You let your light shine. And Jesus said, you are the light of the world. Let's sing it together now. Amen. Oh, I will praise the Lord. Sing it again now. I will praise you, Lord. Oh, no matter what tomorrow brings, what it has in store, I know I will praise you, Lord. Yes, I will praise you, Lord. Hallelujah, I will praise you, Lord. Oh, no matter what tomorrow brings, what it has in store, I know I will praise you, Lord. Lord, we just want to close by saying thank you. Thank you, Father, for the love, and the joy, and the peace, and all the goodness that you just pour into us. And now being birthed out of us is life and liberty and happiness. Lord, I just pray that it'll take over our spirits, fill our spirit with light, take over our bodies, take over our atmosphere, our homes, everywhere we live, everywhere we go. May others realize Jesus Christ is alive and well. In your name we pray. Shake somebody's hand. Make sure you say hi in Jesus' name.